America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another enchanting episode of Let's Begin. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons. Say hi, people.
Hey. Hey, everybody.
Hey, people.
Announce your existence to the world.
Yeah, we exist. In some form or other.
Yeah, so this episode is for March 10th, 2017. I think the Switch has been out for about a little over a week now.
Exactly.
About a week now.
Yeah.
And I think we've all kind of gotten it out of our system, more or less. Unless you're currently playing Zelda, in which the ride never ends.
Yeah.
I'll take the fifth. Thanks for asking, though.
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah. I've been watching the Game Grumps do their playthrough of that game, and I would say that I'm jealous, but it's more like murder-inspiring jealous.
Really?
Because I want a fucking Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Well, another batch is going to be going out soon, so
yeah,
get another shot at it.
You don't have a Wii U, you can play it that way.
I refuse to play the game on the Wii U.
Yeah.
What if it was free? Oh, would you play it on the Wii U?
If that thing gets, if the Wii U gets anywhere near that game, I'm setting it on fire.
Ah.
Okay.
Who wants to break it to him?
Well, I mean, I've looked at screenshots and. Yeah, I'm going to play it on the Wii U.
I fucking hate you people. Okay.
Well, anyway.
Damn it. Oh my god.
Well, you convinced me. I'll probably go get it on the when I get the money. But or when my current stream of gaming goodness is, you know, shallow, because right now I've got Horizon and Nier and a bunch of other shit going.
Yeah, and you're 2 weeks away from Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So
like 11 days, literally, from now.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks after that is Persona 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, backlog.
Yeah. But, we'll be talking about some stuff on this week's episode, some political stuff, some sports stuff, some music news, some Twitch-related news, and apparently Elon Musk thinks that he can fix Australia's energy crisis.
Yeah. Well, he's fixed everything else, so.
Yeah. His track record supports it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be getting to that. So first and foremost, of course, it's time to talk about what we've been doing this week. So, Phil, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so I'm doing my usual mix of stuff. Started on Influx by Daniel Suarez, which is a really terrifying book. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, this one's about... there's a shady, I would say, government agency that seems to operate above the law.
Which one?
Well, this, this one's called the Bureau of Technology Control. And what they do is they keep an eye out for breakthroughs and harvest them for themselves under the guise of not disrupting society. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a despotic regime at all, does it?
Nope.
Yeah, but yeah. So a lot of very interesting stuff is going on with that book. It's got a really interesting premise. There's also one terrifying Room 101-esque style scene in there that, yeah, I really, very well worth it. A lot of people gave this book flack when it came out because it wasn't really quite up to what Daniel had done before. But I'd say after, you know, during this second read-through, I'd say it's actually grown on me. Very,
yeah,
very much like it.
The book he did before that was Kill Decision.
Yeah,
and,
which was also terrifying.
Yeah, that one's about what would happen if all those drones that roam the skies if they suddenly decided to go rogue.
Yeah. And adopt swarming behavior.
Like bees.
Yeah. Like, you know, the ones at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And they're armed.
Yeah. With guns.
With missiles. Hmm.
So, yeah, that's one thing I've been doing. I've also been keeping up on the Netflix stuff there. I've been watching Ultimate Beastmaster, which continues to be enjoyable. I'm only about 3 episodes in there. Because I've been watching a lot more of White Rabbit Project. I've gotten through the first 5 episodes of that series, and I kind of get it now. It's not really about, like, really extravagant stuff, which is, you know... I think starting the series with the superhero stuff was probably a bad idea, because it gave false expectations. Mm-hmm. The other episodes were about... let's see, what was there... the second episode was about escapes. The third episode was about weird World War II weapons. There was apparently a plan on the boards to start slipping estrogen to Hitler in hopes that it might calm him down. Yeah, that's a thing that apparently happened. then there was an episode on scams, and then there was an episode on thefts. That's as far as I've got so far. Yeah, it's really good stuff. It's definitely worth going back to. Very informative. And yeah, if you got Netflix, check this one out. I highly recommend it. That's what I got. Yeah, I've been listening to a bunch of music. Picked up Stryker's new self-titled album and been enjoying that one. I like Canadian metal because it's Canadian and it's metal. So that's good. Been listening to Disturbed, of all bands. Yeah,
of all the, I gotta say, of all the bands that sort of came out of that whole era, they're probably the one that's managed to still manage to produce pretty quality stuff.
Yeah, they're actually very quality, and then they did that cover of The Sound of Silence, which is fucking fantastic, I have to say.
Yeah, didn't they just come out this week?
No, that one's been out for like 2 years, and I only like discovered it recently.
No, there's another cover. It's Bridge Over Troubled Water. Sorry, I'm mixing up my covers.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember seeing that was on Team Coco's channel, Conan O'Brien's YouTube channel.
Yeah,
that's the performance of that song is their most popular video.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh yeah,
not any of his original stuff.
Yeah. And also, but, it's like, I love the look on Conan's face at the end, where he's just like, I don't believe what I just heard.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. And not like ironic or irrelevant, like he just heard something really special. And yeah, mm-hmm. it was. It really was. But other than that, what else? Well, not a whole lot of gaming, because, well, been busy with other stuff. I've been doing some Blu-ray ripping. Right now, I've got a hard drive full of about 10 movies taking up about 250 gigabytes, which I gotta go through now.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's gotta, yeah. So, yeah, after I get done with the show, I'll probably be starting another encode and hopefully get that down to a decent size. Each movie takes about 9 to 10 hours to encode, so yeah, I wouldn't really do one a night.
Wow.
Yeah. Blu-rays are big.
They are.
Yeah, it's now that I got a Blu-ray drive in the computer, it's a lot easier to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of been my week. Nothing too special and all that. How about you, Pat?
Well, right now I'm... probably tonight I'll be wrapping up the Fast Remix review. It's pretty far along as it is. There is one paragraph in there that sort of puts the game and a few other early Switch games into proper context that might be a little bit controversial, but I do think it is important for the sake of context to point this fact out. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think the account of the game that I gave on the Day Zero update is still pretty accurate. And I'm just looking forward to getting the review done. I might cut some footage and see if I can cobble together a video review. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I'm just focused on getting the written product done.
Right.
Other than that, planning out some more YouTube stuff, planning out some more Twitch stuff. The next Sound Off video, turns out, is not going to be that sports genre one. I'm just having trouble piecing that one together as well as I would have liked. And I decided that if I let that hold up all of the other content that I want to make, I might have to stop making content for a while. So my next video is going to be a little easier. It's going to be about the Switch and its place in the gaming landscape. So I look forward to making that one. It'll be fun. And plus, it gets me a chance to circle back to a topic that I've wanted to cover for quite some time now, and even alluded to in an earlier video. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah, you, Chris.
Yeah.
So I got my screen protector for my Switch and promptly destroyed it.
What? Oh.
I put it on. It was like 98% good. It's like, I can do better than this.
Oh.
And forgot the core rules. Like, it's good enough. It's like a couple bubbles in there. Yep. Tried to rub them out, but that didn't work. So I ordered another one promptly, and it'll be here in a few days. So,
oh, man.
I'll make sure not to do that again.
See, I ordered a 2-pack.
Yeah, these are just one at a time. It was only like $10, so it's not too bad. For good things Switch related, been playing more Snipper Clips, and that's still a lot of fun, though I ran into a wall of a puzzle. And I decided to take a break and play some more Zelda, where I'm making some good progress, though I decided at a certain point I'm no longer going after Ganon. Because when I got to, Kakariko Village?
Mm-hmm.
There's a character there, not Impa, but her granddaughter, I think? Paya? Yeah. She just starts freaking out as soon as you show up, because she's apparently not good around boys.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So after I did all the talking with Impa and got the traditional Zelda intro of here's the tapestry of all the previous Zelda lore and all that, I talked to her and she's like, oh, they named me after a papaya because I have a papaya-shaped birthmark. I was like, oh, I
remember that.
You can ask her, like, oh, can I see it? And Impa's immediately like, well, that's not something you should ask. She's like, I don't know. Maybe later. It's like, okay, I have a new goal now. This birthmark. I can do whatever I want in this game. I want to see that birthmark. It's probably not going to happen, but...
You look at the front of the box, and I've got it right here in front of me. And it says it's rated E10. That says that means you don't get to see the birthmark.
And it's like, I find that interesting, like, character thing that you never really see in Zelda that much, outside of whatever Tinkle does. Tingle, I mean.
That was good.
No, it works.
Yeah. That guy is his own thing. That's why he got his own game. I'm at that point where I'm pretty much opening every chest and getting your inventory is full. So eventually I found the guy that lets you expand it, and I did it twice and he disappeared. So I was like, okay, now I gotta go find this asshole again because I still had some more to go.
I think if you find him again, he'll stage an intervention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I tried. I loved his dance that he does when you do it, and I tried to record that and put it up as like a native Twitter video, and it's like, They said, no, it doesn't meet our requirements. And I looked at their thing. It's, everything's cool. And it's like, frame rate requirement is 40 frames per second. Like, that's a really stupid thing, especially since 60 frames per second would be a thing a lot of people would like. So the video I recorded is not compatible for Twitter. So that means I have to find him just so I can record a 30 frames per second version of that dance, just so I can have that to reference. Because that's a really fun maraca dance that he does.
Yeah, that, just throw it in Handbrake and set it to 30 and take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go find him. I'm going to get there eventually anyway.
Yeah.
I just hate that Twitter has that stupid requirement. It'd be nice if the Elgato software offered that, offered it all to do that for you.
Yeah.
So let you output for like YouTube and Facebook and these other things. Nice to have Twitter on that as well. Which
that's
I know
I like just, the AverMedia, because that lets me do pretty much whatever I want.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up just uploading it to YouTube, so I can just link to that whenever I feel like using it for something. But Twitter obviously doesn't really display that stuff that well most of the time.
Nope.
As for actual,
I just landed a good candidate for that hurt video I want to make.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know if I've done anything stupid like that yet. I mostly just figured out like just the bombs for those mining spots. Because I talked to a guy that said, hey, you could use the bombs, but just keep them away from me. It's like, okay, I never thought about that. Because like, there's the great hammers that you can get. Like, as soon as I could get out, I went south to where the Gerudos are. Just got killed when I tried to take anything on. So I was like, I gotta get out of this area. Went up north where all the rest of the action, like kind of where they actually want you to go, I guess. But yeah, that's been fun. Taming some horses and then ditching them. Sort of like most people's Super Mario World runs where they just ditch Yoshi into pits.
Mm.
It's like, I kind of tamed this horse, but he's going to just stand here in the middle of nowhere for the rest of his life. That's where Zelda gets real dark. Yeah, that's been good. Let's see. Also been playing some more Horizon. I finally got through the proving, which is a hell of a thing that happens. Got out to the rest of the world and able to go around as the Seeker. Found my first long neck. I think it's a long neck. Is that what they call it, Brandon?
Yep.
Okay. I found the first one. I was kind of a little disappointed in the rumble, because the rumble should just be going nuts all around that area, because that's just a big, giant fucking machine that's stomping around. But that was cool. Found the grazers, and those are ridiculous machines. They're basically like deer robots, and their antlers are kind of drills. They stick their head in the ground, and their antlers just start drilling into the ground. I don't know what for, but I like doing my stealth thing and just killing enemies, watching them like, what the hell's going on over here? And give them a nice stealth kill stab. Trying to do it right in the butt so I can get a good video to put up on Twitter. As I just keep doing that.
Butt video.
I just call them right in the pooper. Because that's exactly what you say when you do it. It's like, right in the pooper.
That's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, that's been kind of mostly it. Played a little bit of a disc jam, and my first opponent was named... what was it? I put a picture in the chat. My Pig Venus. I was like, that's a great first opponent name.
God damn it, internet.
And it took me a couple matches to get my first win, but yeah, that game's pretty good. It's definitely trying to be the Rocket League of Windjammer clones.
Yeah.
Considering most of the other clones have not been good, that's really saying something.
Yeah.
That it's doing, for the most part. I've been having some weird internet issues. That's probably a little bit getting more people than they expected. Because they'd like play one match and quit out to the main menus. And because the only option you have is to either retry, like rematch or quit. It's like, just match me up with a new person.
Yeah.
But you have to quit back out to do that. So they still have some quality of life stuff to do for that. And, yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Teresa?
I've been, doing some shit.
Okay.
Played Pokemon Moon. That's interesting so far. Oh, I actually was, watching Season 3 of Pokemon. I forgot to write that down. I was watching, Johto stuff. So it's kind of thinking about it, how I used to watch it, and catching the Pokemon again in Pokemon Go, so I thought I'd spin that up on Plex, and I swear to God, Brock, I swear to God. He's just such a horn dog. I did start A King's Tale. I didn't get too far into it, but
yeah, so did I. Yeah. I started it, and then I got really, really, really bored.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It's like, yeah, it's that game 40 just
minutes, and you're like, no.
Yeah, no, just no.
Yeah, yeah, Scott got out of the shower. He looked at it, he's like, "Is this a Neo Geo game?" I'm like, nope.
What, that Final Fantasy 15 thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
People actually paid for codes for that after launch.
Wow.
Like 40, 50 bucks, something like that.
Uh-huh.
At least you weren't that dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. I don't think I'd pay 45 cents for that.
Nope.
That bad.
Oh, it's yeah, it's bad.
It's boring. Seriously, it's
That's
boring.
That's a shame. We need more good beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
This is apparently not it.
No. This is like, this seems like it was made by people who, like, it's like they have been, someone described what a beat 'em up was, but they never actually played one themselves.
It was made by interns.
Yeah. I would imagine it's probably made by a small team that had to get it out in time for launch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So.
I'm trying to see who it is. I'll update you later on that.
Yeah. I caught up on Star Wars Rebels. I like where the story arc is going. It's good. I don't know what else to say. It's good. I've enjoyed Star Wars Rebels since the very first episode. So we'll see. Yeah. And then the rest of it is, I did Brandon. Put in a reservation for Breath of the Wild on Wii U at the library. And I saw that my library has it on order. The one two towns over has it on order. And the one like 30 minutes away has it. So I'm assuming they're going to give me that one. And it'll take like a week to finally get to me because the interlibrary loans go out in a big truck or something that drives around. I don't know what the fuck. It does shit. It drives around and it brings me good stuff eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. So hopefully I'll get that. And then I've had Overcooked reserved or requested for like it feels like a month and I haven't gotten it yet. And I wanted to play that. It looked like Burger Time on freaking steroids or something.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent way of describing it.
So yeah, I'm kind of like just hanging out, waiting for my wrist to heal because I played way too much Skyrim Sunday. Ooh. Monday? Sunday. Oh my God, so much Skyrim. And it's like I can't hold anything. It's bad. Like it's numb. My fingers are all numb right now. And that was like this weekend. Maybe it was. No, it wasn't Monday. No, it was Saturday that I couldn't get a parking space in Taco Time.
Yeah.
So it probably was Monday that I played.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about Taco Time. I want to try it, and I couldn't get a parking space, so that sucked.
Yeah.
But other than that, my life has been stuffed with stupid job hunting stuff, so.
Yeah.
Is there any other kind?
Yeah. I see a note being lifted up over a chair, and it has a copyright symbol and a music symbol. Oh, yes. I'm supposed to ask you guys about copyrighted music in YouTube videos.
Fuck that shit.
Wow.
Okay. As somebody that manages our YouTube channel, fuck all of YouTube and music.
Yeah, my kid is doing... he's doing, Let's Play, and he was doing, were you doing Minecraft? He was doing Minecraft or something, or Roblox. Oh, what's it called again? Grav. It's a sandbox game that's set in space. So he's playing this game, Grav, and I'm assuming it's kind of like Roblox, and there's some of the places that you go to, it has its own music playing, and it's copyrighted all to hell and back.
Yep.
And you can go in the other room because I'm going to swear a lot now. Thank you. I'll tell you what I find out later. Go to bed. Or go watch Misty or something. Go on. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Is he gone? He's not gone.
Well, I'll tell you this. When the crew beta happens way back in the day, I made a video of that. And the whole thing got muted because of a sound effect that happens in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
A little 2-second sound effect got the whole damn video muted, so I had to make a whole new video.
Oh, no. Well, see, this one doesn't look so bad. Hang on, let me
But it's like, that's how minor shit can be for you to get fucked.
Yeah. Okay. So...
I've got a similar story, but I do have a YouTube copyright music story of my own, but not quite as stringent as that, thankfully.
Yeah.
All right. Did
you get in trouble?
No. No. I just got claimed.
And it happens. We're going to put ads on it for you.
See, this is what it's saying. It's monetized by claimant. It's Bark Beetle, Macropia, and the claimant is Ingrooves, and they say that you don't have to do anything, but ads might appear on your video because that's their content, and they want an ad on it to make money. So I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I don't care.
No, that's fine. That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
What you need to be careful of is getting claims from companies that have no. No claim on the content whatsoever.
Yeah, we
that's
just got
when
our
file a dispute, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, on our Smashpad YouTube channel, we just had our most popular video basically blocked in all countries.
Yep.
Because
some channel claimed like part of a cutscene in, this is like a Fuse demo gameplay video I made.
Yeah.
It's like they claimed ownership of this thing that Insomniac made.
Yeah.
So are we disputing that, or?
I was thinking about just deleting that video and putting up fresh one version of it.
Yeah, put something else up.
Yeah.
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 So they do a good job of scaring me off of that, because they're like, make sure you consult lawyers before doing this. Like, I just put up this video for the hell of it, like 4 years ago. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you try and like respond to it and it's like, oh, it should be free from, you know, free speech thing or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like,
fair use. But
yeah, yeah, fair use. It's like, fuck you. That's what it basically responds like. Well, that's too bad that you think that. You need to go get written permission otherwise. It's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. Because it's like, when you games, you don't always have control over the music they use. And it sucks to mute the game so there's no music at all. Like, trying to be the talking over it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It should just include link to, you know, iTunes, Google Music, Amazon, whatever, and say, if you like the songs, go here. This is where you can go buy them all.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? And all that.
No, that'd be nice.
And it's like, yeah, attribute all of them. That's great.
Yeah.
It's also, you never know whether the music you're listening to is, you know, copyrighted and all that.
Yeah.
Or original music that they fully own.
Yeah.
It's a huge minefield, and YouTube doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
They'll bend over for anybody that just says, hey, we own this.
Yeah.
I want to figure out how to do that, because I want to claim some shit.
Yeah,
I
want
to see what we can do to fucking other people. Like, even putting up trailers that we get from publishers, that's a whole fucked up thing.
Oh, I love it when we put up a trailer that we get from the publisher and then get a claim by the publisher. That's awesome.
We got, okay, we put up a trailer of The Witness. It's been blocked worldwide.
Yeah.
Claimants? Oh, Sony. Sony's Latin PlayStation, I guess Latin American PlayStation channel decided to block it all.
Mm-mm.
Audiovisual content.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Good job, Sony. You blocked the video with 19 views on it.
Yeah,
no, that's so. Just that shit's just
they
petty
paid
right there.
How much to block that video at the time that what was required to file the claim?
Yeah, that's just automated shit. You know.
Yeah, just, I think that's just all automated. Google doesn't have any people looking at this.
Nope. Not
they just have people
got...
looking at the shit people report.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up in its own right.
Yeah.
Those people don't stay on that stuff more than a few weeks, and then they potentially have to get psychiatric help after that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, think about all the shit that gets automatically taken down, then everything else that has to get manually taken down. That's all the fucked up shit nobody wants to watch.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so it's my turn now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what have you been doing?
Hey, Brandon, what's up with you?
Well, first and foremost, I have been playing Nier Automata. Or Automata, or however the hell you're supposed to pronounce it.
Automata?
Automata? Maybe.
Maybe,
I don't know. All I know is that sweet ass fucking Moses, that game is weird.
Well, it is a Nier game, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
their creator runs around with a moon mask on most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen that video he did of when they were going to give away the t-shirt for pre-ordering it?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's so funny. So, Taro Yoko is there, and of course, in his famous mask. And he's got a microphone with him. Next to him is the guy who was the head programmer, I think. And the head programmer is wearing the shirt that they were going to give away for pre-orders. And so he said, you know, he's like, hey, Taro Yoko here, and I want to let you all know that when you pre-order, you're going to get this special shirt. And he points to the shirt that the guys wear, and then he goes, here, hold this, and he gives the dude the microphone. And then he tries to steal the shirt off of him.
Yep. Go get that shirt, that specific one.
And then he starts rolling around on the floor going, Nier Automata t-shirt, Nier Automata t-shirt, Nier Automata t-shirt. Shit, Square Enix.
Yeah, I want to say I remember seeing like some sort of transcribed tweet of that and it just said Nier Automata t-shirt over and over again. It's like, what the hell is this?
Gotta love the mood.
Yeah, so this is basically the first game Taro Yoko has worked on that he's been, you know, the head designer on, where all of his ideas actually came together and made a game that's not only compelling but actually fun to play.
Hmm.
So who here has actually played the demo?
Yeah, I missed it.
I meant to.
I've seen it being played, so.
Okay, so yeah. Okay, so you've seen like playthroughs of the demo?
Yeah.
Okay, so
ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's actually the beginning, or basically the prologue of the game, is that demo.
Yeah.
Except that before it starts, you basically go through a scrolling, top-down scrolling shoot-'em-up segment.
Yeah.
Because if you remember at the beginning of the demo, she's in that little mech suit that crashes through that wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at first it starts off like a regular jet, and then it becomes, you know, a mech suit. And, you know, it's like at first, you know, it's like just that whole segment. It goes from, like, top-down to Ikaruga to side-scroller to third person trying to dodge all the shit. and then it becomes the part in the demo. And yeah, so do you guys remember that one part in Metal Gear Solid where Hideo Kojima does that thing where the screen goes black and then the little green Hideo shows up at the corner, mm-hmm. make you think it suddenly went into video?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this game does to you after the prologue's over, except it makes you think you've hit a record button. So, yeah, it's definitely a Taro Yoko game.
Mm.
So, basically, the overall sort of plot of the game is, and I'll probably go a lot more in depth on Sunday, but the basic idea is that you're playing these androids. Okay, so a long time before the game started, there was this alien invasion on Earth, and the aliens basically created machines, you know, robots, and there was this big war, and the remnants of humanity basically had to escape to the moon, and they started creating these androids, which are what you play in the game, and these androids, basically their job is to go down, try and get rid of the machines, get rid of the aliens, and end the war. And, character, of course, you play is I think her name is either 9S, I think is who she is.
That was B2.
Yeah, it's B2. That's exactly who it is. Yes, you play. No, it's 2B, actually.
Okay.
9S is the other one, the dude. And 9S is basically it's a Japanese game. You know, like,
oh, you couldn't have told me that after that explanation.
Yeah, just, it's a Japanese game, and she wears a very sheer skirt, and when she's going up or down ladders, you can totally look under there and see her ass. And, they spent quite a bit of time on it.
I mean, they made a trophy all around, of all about looking up her skirt.
Yeah, if you peek under her at her ass like 10 times, it'll actually give you a trophy for it.
Oh my god!
It's Japan. Trophy is called. Through.
Yeah, the trophy is called. What are you doing? Here's the funny thing, though. Later on in the game, you actually get to play 9S.
Hmm.
One of the other, like, it's a Taro Yoko game, so obviously you have to play the game a couple times to go through different routes and stuff, and one of them is 2B, is a 9S's route, and 9S's route has something similar to him, except his trophy is called I Don't Mind, ...
Okay.
So anyway, the point is so you the end of that little demo, which is the prologue of the game, is, you know, the black box blows up. And the thing about androids, of course, is that, you know, as long as they manage to upload their consciousness, they're basically mortal.
Mm-hmm.
They just get new bodies. And that's basically how the game, the proper game starts after the prologue, and a bunch of it of that is that part where you're trying to, you know, adjust all the sound and, you know, imagery options and colors and all that stuff. And so then you have to go back down to Earth, and because you're basically at this point, you and a bunch of the other androids are living in this basically this space bunker, and basically you have to go back down to what's appears to look like a open world, but it's not really an open world. It's basically a linear game. It's just that the places that you go are really, really large. And so, like, obviously your primary enemies in this game are the other robots. But here's something weird I've started to notice about these robots is, for whatever reason, they've decided to start mimicking humans. Like, behavior-wise. For one thing, they've started developing human speech. They have started wearing clothes. They apparently have developed a strong sense of survival instinct. And then, like, one of the first big things you come in contact with, like, one of the, before you fight one of the first big bosses, is you go into this place in the desert, and there's, like, this huge colony of robots, and, there's, like, this big group of them, like, right in the middle of this giant building, and they don't attack you at first. They're preoccupied. Basically, like, there's one robot that's basically rocking, like, a baby cradle back going, child, 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 over and over again. And then you start to notice that some of the... And then, well, you start to notice, looking around, is, like, why are all these robots constantly, like, ramming and bumping against each other? And then you realize, oh, they're trying to mimic a robot fucking
orgy.
Yeah. Oh my god.
There is straight up one robot that is trying to perform cunnilingus on another robot.
I'm guessing this is rated M.
Oh yeah. it just gets weirder from there. Because there's like this huge amusement park that you find, and like there's this whole colony of like peaceful robots that aren't that are trying to not get involved in the war, and it's just weird. It takes a really, really weird turn very quickly. This game is a lot of fun. But I'll go more in depth Sunday. So other than that, I've been watching anime. Now,
one thing I got to ask, though, is it tied in any way to the first game? Or
it is, but it's very subtle. But some of the characters that showed up in Nier do show up later on. But it's related to Nier much the same way that Nier is related to Drakengard.
Oh.
In that they are connected, but the connection is something you have to actively search for. Other than that, I've been watching anime. I've started watching this series called Future Diary.
Yeah,
Future Diary is...
I got in on the ground floor on that one.
it is a good, good show. And also really goddamn terrifying.
You know, is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yes, she is the Queen Yandere. Like the absolute god empress of all Yandere, period. Yeah, she is one of the greatest characters in anime, and also one of the most terrifying.
Just wait.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I know. That whole show is just a giant mind
fuck. So you know how it ends?
I have a basic idea. I know it involves a time loop thing, so...
Well, I'm speaking specifically about Yuno's character.
No, but I have some ideas. Okay. And
I'm going to bite my tongue as hard as I can.
I'm going to go. You want me to go ahead and give you my prediction? Sure. She's actually been in this whole game before, and she's sort of caught in an infinite loop.
Hmm.
And she's basically constantly trying to save her senpai. That's why she stays in it.
Hmm.
Close.
Yeah. Hmm. So I've been watching that. I got back to more guitar playing, getting better, started forming calluses again. So
Oop.
That's a plus. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but Body Count released their new album last month. And I had to get in on that.
Wow. There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, it's their fourth album.
Hmm.
Do you guys know who Body Count is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ice-T's rock band.
Yeah.
Actually really freaking good. They were infamous back in the early 90s because they put out a song called Cop Killer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is also a really freaking amazing song. And
Jack Thompson didn't like it, though.
No, Jack Thompson didn't like it.
He doesn't like anything.
No. But, so, yeah, I've got that. They have a song on there. They got it with a video for it called No Lives Matter. And, very timely. And, you gotta admit, of all the bands out there that would be relevant again, Body Count is definitely one of them. But, yeah, so, that's what I've been up to this week. Has anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
I'll give an update on the team that made A King's Tale.
Yeah.
Empty Clip Studios. Who also did another tie-in game called A Dead Island Retro Revenge that came out alongside that remaster collection on PS4 and Xbox One.
Which was also terrible.
Yeah, but they also made an original game called Symphony on Steam. It's actually supposed to be pretty good. It's kind of uses it's audio surf style like generation for like a Space Invaders kind of clone shooter thing.
Yeah.
Supposed to be pretty good, but also their huge port studio.
Yeah.
So, like, if you go to their official site, which they don't keep us up to date at all, ported, like, a bunch of the BitTrip games to PC, Auditorium HD to the PS3 and PSP. They made an original game called Groovin' Blocks on the Wii. That's a kind of Tetris-y puzzle game. A lot of ports to DS, so they're kind of on that level.
Okay.
They did some work on Monaco, What's Yours Is Mine, the engine and tech work, so they're one of those kind of studios.
Okay.
So it makes sense that they would probably be the ones to get chosen for a quick Final Fantasy 15 game.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Alrighty then, well, and that out of the way, it is now time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And as we all know, this week, Thursday, I believe, was International Women's Day. There was a bunch of neat stuff that happened that day. There was a big sort of general strike that happened all over the world. Women basically decided to say, we ain't going to do shit this week. And you all are going to suffer without us. And, well, they're not wrong. But, it was a pretty neat thing. And, it's actually, I'm pretty sure, isn't a March like Women's History Month in general?
Yeah, it's Women's History Month.
Yeah. International Women's Day, people who don't know this, it actually originally started back in 1907. It was the first celebration was with the it was basically the first celebration was in the U.S. by the Socialist Party of America. That was the first Women's Day celebration. It eventually sort of spread all over the world. If you think that, you know, just that this particular holiday or something is one of those days that's just, it's just there, you know, it's like it doesn't really have an effect on anyone or anything. Well, the truth of the matter is that It was International Women's Day, a particular International Women's Day that actually set the course for the entire history of the 20th century. And it happened one day in Russia, all the way back in 1917. And we know it today as the February Revolution. Now, before you ask, why February Revolution when this is clearly March? Back then, Russia was still using the old-style calendar. For those who don't know, the old-style calendar and the new style, the one that we use today, has a difference of about 11 days in between them. So, technically, this was actually March 8th. When, in the old-style calendar, it would have been February 23rd. And basically, that's just all you need to know. It's a difference of about 11 or so days. It's confusing, I know. That's why everyone eventually changed over.
And yet we still have fucking daylight savings.
Yeah. So, basically, all you need to know is this. By 1917, pretty much all of Russia had collectively decided that the Tsar can kind of go fuck himself. It was bad. Government corruption was rampant, unrestrained, and shamelessly out in the open. I mean, they didn't give a shit, and on top of that, Tsar Nicholas II, who of course was the Tsar, basically he disregarded any and all actions by the Duma, which for those you don't know was the Russian parliament at the time. It was called the Imperial Duma. The Imperial Duma would basically, they would say decisions like, Tsar, you need to rein your shit in. The Tsar would say, try me, motherfucker. And
cap some people.
it wasn't good. So right around the 3rd of March, there was a protest that developed out of what's called Putilov, or... Well, actually, they call it the Kirov plant now, but basically it was a plant in Petrograd, which, as you don't know, that's what they now call St. Petersburg. Basically, they were just – it was the largest industrial plant in the city, and they just were just pissed off because, their wages were shit and – this was like during the dark days of the First World War, and – if you know anything, Russia was one of the suffered some of the heaviest casualties in that war, and in general, they were just like, screw it, let's have a protest, have a demonstration. Keep in mind, at the time, these were completely illegal. The guard was given authority to shoot on sight if shit like that developed, and but. For whatever reason, the guards stayed their hand and figured out this is just a minor thing. It'll blow over, and then they'll go back and do whatever. But that didn't happen. It lasted for 5 days. And then finally, on March 8th, which was the 23rd of February, old style, was International Women's Day. And that year... much of the International Women's Day demonstrations were being led by women textile workers who were very, very angry when they found out that the government was planning food rationing. The government began rationing flour, bread, and then the rumors of food shortages started circulating, and then there were the bread riots. Bread riots erupted all over Petrograd. The women in particular were very passionate about this and were very dissatisfied with the way the rationing system was implemented. And all these women, they got together, hundreds of them got together for their International Women's Day celebration. And they came up with an idea. They said, you know what? We're pissed off. I bet a lot of the other folks in Petrograd are pissed off. Why don't we go to some of the nearby factories, talk to some of the people, and maybe they can join us in our little in our demonstration for today. They expected about maybe a few hundred at most to join them for their demonstration. They ended up getting about 50,000.
50,000?
50,000 workers from the nearby factories joined them on the strike. They all went on strike. Both men and women flooded the streets of Petrograd, demanding an end to these food shortages. The end of the war, and of course, finally, the end of autocracy. Basically, the end of the Tsarist regime.
Hmm.
By the next day, 200,000 people filled the streets of Petrograd, demanding that the Tsar abdicate and a more progressive political leader be installed. They asked for all the same stuff, end food rationing, call off the war, end the Russian monarchy. By March 10th, all of the industrial enterprises in Petrograd were shut down.
Damn.
And although all gatherings...
And that's not a small city either.
No. It gets better. Although all gatherings on the streets by that point were absolutely forbidden by the Russian government, there were by then on March 10th, 250,000 people were on strike in Petrograd. 250,000. There were disturbances that started showing up all over the city. In Nevsky Prospect, there was a disturbance and 4 people were killed. Tsar, because by now he's probably realized, oh shit, I better do something. He basically wired Pavlov, who was the commander of the garrison that was in charge of Petrograd, who, for the record, was inexperienced and extremely indecisive. And basically the Tsar wired him and told him, dude, disperse the crowds with rifle fire and suppress the, quote, impermissible rioting by force. On March 11th, the center of the city had been fenced off by the soldiers. Then, Golitsyn, who was at the time, I believe, the prime minister of the Duma at that time, signed what was called a ukase, which was a direct order that basically declared that Tsar Nicholas had decided to interrupt the Duma until April, which basically meant that until the following month, until April, which basically was February or March, so it would be another couple months, the Duma, the parliament, no longer had any legal authority to act. On March 11th, oh, it keeps going. The 4th Company of the Pavlovsky Replacement Regiment broke out of their barracks upon learning that another detachment of the regiment had clashed with demonstrators near the Kazan Cathedral. They then fired at the mounted police. The soldiers started firing at the mounted police, but then they were actually disarmed by another regiment. This was the beginning of open mutiny in the Petrograd garrison. On March 12th, Duma remained obedient and did not attempt to hold an official sitting. Officially. But a few of the delegates decided to form what they call the Provisional Committee of the State Duma. And they were basically getting ready to take over if the Tsar decided to abdicate, because shit was getting bad. We're talking complete breakdown of order. No, just absolutely no... trust or respect for the authority of the government at that point. And then, at the same time, a group of workers from the Russian Social Democratic Party decided to form the first Petrograd Workers' Council. For those of you who don't know what a workers' council is called in Russia, it's called a Soviet. Are these words starting to make sense now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Are there gears turning in your head?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On March 11th, again, this is the 26th of February, the chairman of the Duma, by the name of Mikhail Rodzianko, sent the Tsar a report of the chaos in a telegram, and this is literally what the telegram said. It said, "The situation is serious. The capital is in a state of anarchy. The government is paralyzed. Transport service and the supply of food and fuel have become completely disrupted. General discontent is growing. There must be no delay. Any procrastination is tantamount to death." Nicholas responded, and honestly, Nicholas very clearly did not understand the gravity of this situation. He basically thought that Rodzianko was overreacting. He basically says that this fat man has written me lots of nonsense to which I will not even deign to reply. And then finally, the bulk of the garrison in Petrograd mutinied on the 12th of March. And then all of the other regiments, the Litovsky Regiment, the Privozinsky Regiment, the Moskovsky Regiments, all went out in the streets and joined the rebellion. They started hunting down police and gathered about 40,000 rifles, which were then dispersed among the workers in Petrograd.
Pissed off people with guns.
Yep. At this point, the Duma decided it was time to start begin plans to establish a provisional government. This was the Provisional Committee, and as I also mentioned earlier, the Petrograd Soviet also was founded. There was actually a previous Petrograd Soviet that created in 1905. There was another revolution that happened back then. And at that point, on March 13th, at 5 in the morning, Tsar Nicholas left Mogilev, which was a city that that was in Belarus, which he had been staying at that time. He was unable to reach Petrograd, as at that point, revolutionaries completely controlled all the railway stations around the capital. After midnight, the train was stopped at Malaya Vishera, turned, and in the evening of March 14th, Nicholas arrived in Pskov, and then Wednesday, March 14th, or the 1st of March, old-style calendar, the Tsar officially abdicated the throne. He originally nominated his brother, the Grand Duke Michael Alexandrovich, to succeed him, but the Grand Duke wasn't stupid. He knew that just doing that, there would be no support, so he declined, saying that he would only take it only if there was the consensus of democratic action by the Russian Constituent Assembly.
And you know what the odds of that were.
Yeah. And March 8th, the former Tsar, addressed with contempt by the centuries as Nicholas Romanov, was reunited with his family at the Alexander Palace. He and his family and loyal retailers were placed under protective custody by the provisional government in the palace. And that's how the Romanov dynasty, a dynasty of czars that had ruled Russia for centuries, came to an end in just a few days.
That's crazy.
And it was all started by a bunch of pissed off women textile workers calling for peace, land, and bread. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, wait, you're not mentioning something here. You're only telling half of the story. And it's true, because there was another revolution that would happen later that year, and that would be the famous October Revolution, which, considering they were still working on the old style calendar, meant it actually happened in what we now call November. But
yeah.
But that wouldn't be till later. But all you need to know is that March 21st, no, it wasn't March 21st, it was March the 16th, a train containing 33 Russian men and their families left Germany and rolled into the Finland station in Petrograd. There was one gentleman on that train who got off, and his actions from here on then would change the face of history and define the entire scope of the history of the 20th century. His real name was Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, but the world would forever know him as his code name, Lenin. And that, my friends, has been Brandon's random factoid.
Hmm. More like a history lesson, but hey.
Yeah. Wow.
Hmm. And here's the thing. Guess what's the, what? Guess what's going to be having a centenary this October?
Oh.
That's right. The October Revolution and the founding of the Soviet Union.
Hmm. Well, there's no way that that couldn't possibly go well.
Rather. I'm expecting shit to happen this year.
Yes, I would suspect very lots of shit will happen this year.
I mean, that's that is an anniversary where you gotta understand that whole event. It literally turned the power structure of the world on its head.
Hmm.
It defined the entire century that came after it.
Yeah,
for better or worse.
Yeah.
And there's just too much symbolism in that anniversary that something is bound to happen this year.
Yeah.
It's just too important.
Keep your eyes open.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now then.
Yeah, we got a motor, so.
Yeah. So, next up, our assholes of the week. So, guess what? The GOP finally revealed its health care bill this week.
And it's a hot mess.
Yes, it is shit.
It's a trash fire.
I saw a graphic representation. The single payer is equivalent to the best street tacos ever photographed. Mm-hmm. What we got with ACA is equivalent to Taco Bell taco. And what we're going to get with Ryan Care is a taco shell and some greasy melted cheese inside of it.
Yeah.
So basically one of those tacos Velveeta. From Jack in the Box.
Yeah, where, you know, the 1% ate all your fixins.
Yeah. it was a hot mess. And here's the thing. They've had almost 8 years to come up with this shit. And this is the best they could come up with.
Yeah, because they spent 8 years bitching about some guy that they didn't like because they didn't like his skin.
And who isn't president anymore.
Yeah.
Now they found themselves actually having to govern, and they kind of realized that, oh shit, we kind of suck at governing.
They stand by it so much, nobody wants their name attached to it like Obamacare.
Yeah.
Which that says a lot about the bill as it as a whole, nobody wants to.
No, man. It's got to be Ryan Care. It's got to be Ryan Care because that's
been the face of all the defense.
It's going to be on him whether he wants it to be or not.
He's put out his little sort of advertisement trying to explain it to get the American people on board, and it's on YouTube, and it's been roundly rejected.
Yeah, the American Medical Association.
Yep.
Both AHA's hospital and health associations, a bunch of conservative groups,
AARP shit on it.
Wow,
how much do
you have to fuck up when conservatives are calling your shit?
Keep in mind, what we call Obamacare was originally a project from the Heritage Foundation.
Well,
Romney got it from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they were trying to strong arm Planned Parenthood.
There's a thing in there that basically go a roundabout way of defunding Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to cut funding, but they were apparently trying to get them to drop abortions, and in exchange they wouldn't cut their funding.
So here's the thing, they already can't. We have to constantly remind them, Hyde Amendment. Planned Parenthood cannot use government funds to fund any type of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Republicans keep pulling this shit.
Yeah.
Guess what? It removes taxes for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically shitting on the poor to make the rich richer.
Well, don't you know sometimes poor people have to make decisions between are they going to have health care? Are they going to buy that nice new iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Patrick probably knows about this because this is his state's.
Sadly.
Yeah. Jason Chabot.
We've had to deal with this piece of work for a long time.
Basically, he went on, what was it, CNN, MSNBC, one of those, mm-hmm. and basically said, like, you know, we're Republicans, we're Americans, and Americans are about choice, and, you know, the lower classes have to decide, you know, are they don't want to spend hundreds of dollars on that iPhone they just want, and are they going to get health care? I'm like, dude, fuck you.
Yep.
iPhones don't even cost that much anymore, dude.
No.
No, actually, and the poor people who get them are usually getting suckered in because they don't have the money to buy it outright, even if it's cheap or used or whatever. They're getting stuck in a 2-year fucking contract that drains them of every extra penny they might have had.
Yeah.
So how about we bring up that motherfucking shit? They want to start that? Oh, wow. Sorry, I got a little fired up there.
That's fine.
No. It's worth getting fired up over.
Yeah.
This was basically Chabot's let them eat cake moment.
Yeah. And there's there's also Ajit Pai and his bid to pretty much deregulate everything. Yeah. He's a piece of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like if everybody who's like talked to him says like he's a super nice guy, really smart, he's just wrong about everything.
Those types of people do exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like that Paul Ryan was doing his little presentation in front of a TV, which means the internet. Said, hey, we can put stuff on this. And so they did a good job summarizing it. It's like step one, don't get sick. Step two, pray.
Step three, repeat steps 1 through 2. So, in other terrifying government news, the new EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, has basically said that he does not believe that CO2 is a primary contributor to climate change.
Now, if he's pointing at methane being a key contributor, sure. But he's not.
No. No, he's just denying pretty much every scientist in the country that says...
Yeah, he's just being a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking tired of these people.
Yeah, there's a great analogy of this. Putting it in baseball terms, an EPA head denying science is like Jeter refusing to use a bat. He'd be fired, and so should Pruitt.
Yeah.
I don't think you need a bat to get home runs.
Yeah.
Oh God!
This guy's in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Well, I think we could pretty much rename the EPA at this point to the EDA.
Trump's probably downsizing it anyway, so he can have some more money to build his stupid wall.
And further news to make you lose faith in humanity, the Marines, the United States Marine Corps, or at least a few of them, currently investigation for creating a database of nude female Marines.
Yeah, they started getting women added to units fairly recently, and... Some group of them decided, hey, we're just going to start putting nude photos of these women in a Google Doc that we can access.
Yeah, that seems like a great idea.
I guess there's about 30,000 members in the group that had access to this.
Jeez. Yeah, about 30,000.
The page called Marines United linked out to a Google Drive folder where the photos were stored. Folder has now been taken down by the military and Facebook. Oh, they were using Facebook for this. Leave the accounts of those responsible for posting photos.
Yeah.
Are you guys seriously shocked by this? These are smartest bulbs in the box.
Look, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I got a lot of folks, Army people in my family, some of them Marines. And I can just roundly say this without any trepidation or hesitation. Fuck the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Just fuck the whole lot of it.
Mm,
Army and Navy and Air Force is where it's at, dog. Marines are a bunch of glorified jarheads.
Yeah.
You know, there's perverts and there's perverts everywhere. Yeah. Eventually they get found out.
Yeah.
Also, it's fair to point out that, you know, military life kind of is a little bit lonely at times, so you do have to keep that into account.
Yeah, but there's tons of porn on the internet if they need
that. Honestly, God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's like there's one thing you don't need more of on the internet, it's nude people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if those women's lawyers ever get a hold of the list of those thousands of people...
They're all fucked now, basically.
Yeah.
Here's a good stat.
Which brings us to the present.
Yeah, 22% of active duty women were harassed in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
About 5% of active duty women were sexually assaulted in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
According to a report that the RAND National Defense Research Institute. And that's just reported stuff. So it's like the all boys club is finally getting some women in it, and they're not sure how to react to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, it's really easy how to react to it. Don't be a fucking asshole. Don't rape people.
Yeah,
I mean,
be a decent human being. It shouldn't be hard, but this is apparently too difficult for some people.
Yeah.
So, how much of the military spending that Trump is increasing? That he's stealing from the educational system is going to go to trying to cover up or keep the damage from going any higher on lawsuits for this shit. I mean,
I think it's like $50 billion.
Hmm.
And honestly, we're already like the biggest military spender.
Hmm.
Be completely honest, he wouldn't really have to look for much money because our military budget is so bloated that they're basically trying to find ways to throw things to throw money at.
Yep.
The Pentagon has complained in the past about getting all this money that they didn't ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the King of the Hill episode where Hank Hill gets the haircut on base. Mm-hmm. And gets charged like $900 for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ends up reporting essentially his best friend, who's a barber.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out they could just cut a lot of money just getting rid of him.
Hmm.
Yeah. Truth of the matter is, they could take a third of our annual military budget and could very easily provide, you know, universal health care and free college for basically every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Yeah.
And still have the number one military in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yet these military bases are closing down schools and daycares.
Mm-hmm.
What the? God.
Mm.
That's just we'd need many hours.
Yeah.
And you got ICE doing all their stupid shit.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, we haven't even touched that.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't want to. Because
there's not enough time in the night.
Not enough time in the night, and frankly, I would like to keep down my supper for tonight. Just,
yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about some good stuff.
Yeah, so on to our heroes of the week to restore your faith in humanity. as everybody knows, public schools in Chicago are not doing well.
Well, no, we've.
I don't think public schools anywhere are doing well right now.
Well, it's especially bad in Illinois because we've had such a legacy of corrupt governors stealing money. I mean, literally stealing money.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Well, we are in the worst economic state, budget wise. We don't even have a goddamn budget. seriously, we haven't had a budget for, what, 3 years now?
You just have taxation in the honor system?
There's no state budget. This is a problem. Yeah. But Chicago Public Schools and you know, Chicago Public Schools educate, I would guess, 5 times the number of students that the entire rest of the state educates.
Yeah.
So, huge, there's Chicago, and then there's, you know, the whole rest of the state.
Yeah.
There's like 10 million people or something like that, and 9 million of them are in Chicago.
Yeah. Although when you can use a deep dish pizza as a metaphor for your state's current economic status, you're having trouble.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse because there are people from other countries who come in to Chicago for tourism all the time. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Nobody wants to come visit the U.S. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when school started this year, Chicago Public Schools couldn't open because they didn't have the money to open. So it is a huge issue, and for so many reasons, but most of them being a couple of corrupt ass governors.
Yeah. But anyway, the good side of the story is that Chance the Rapper donated $1 million to the Chicago Public Schools.
That's a good start.
That is.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Chance, he is a Chicago native, and he donated $1 million, and he also stated that for every $100,000 raised, Chance's social network nonprofit will match with another $10,000.
Yep. And he donated.
Not only did he donate $100 million out of pocket, he also started this nonprofit so that his foundation would match $10,000 for every $100,000 raised.
And I think he donated an extra $10,000 to a specific elementary, which I'm guessing is elementary that
we
want to.
Yep.
And further that, the Michael Bennett, who was inspired by this act from Chance the Rapper, who is the All-Pro defensive tackle for the Seahawks, is donating all of the endorsement money he's gotten for the year of 2017 to help rebuild minority communities.
Yep, through STEAM programs and such for various groups. And he's also saying, challenging all pro athletes to help out in whatever ways they can by donating their own endorsement money and such to whichever causes inspire them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so,
These are good gestures, I think. But it's more the sentiment and the fact that these people are very visible and they're shining a light on a very huge problem that nothing will do more than just the money that they get to give.
Oh, we could do more, but, Congress needs to keep that nice, shiny state health care plan that they all have.
Oh, yeah, because...
That's right. I forgot to mention, I don't know if anybody knows this, but every single member of Congress actually has state-funded universal health care.
What a concept.
They don't have to worry about it, but everybody else does.
Yep.
Yeah, that nice fuck you, I got mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just a quick
little... That's the Republican Party slogan.
Yeah. So, quick little side note to that. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but the former president of South Korea was officially impeached.
Yep.
And lost her position today.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's the one who, those of you don't know, her and her family were involved in like some weird witch cult.
Oh, jeez.
And there was like all this corruption and stuff involving it.
Yeah, and Samsung was a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what showed up when they had the big giant rally? Out in the, I think it was Seoul. And there was this big giant rally. Showed up in the middle of that rally. Get ready for this. You're gonna love it.
But
oh, where's my phone?
Was it Cy?
Huh? Oh shit, I just got out of the chat.
Can you see that? They erected that during that rally.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
And for those, this is an audio podcast, so you can't see it. That's a guillotine we're looking at, folks.
Yeah.
That's a real blade, too, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a fucking omen is what that is.
Oh, we just had this lying around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how you get the French Revolution.
That's not something you should just have lying around.
No.
Yeah, so like we said, if you want the French Revolution, this is how you get the French Revolution. And South Korea looks like they're fixing to have a French Revolution.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a secret society like the Knights Templar that keep a bunch of guillotines around in good working order just in case.
Not really. Guillotines are actually very cheap and easy to produce.
Yeah.
Yeah, Just ask the Society for Creative Anachronism. They'll probably have a couple lying around.
Yeah. I'm sure Alice Cooper has a couple.
Oh, yeah.
He probably loaned you one. But, moving on from that. As everybody knows, there was that infamous travel ban that Trump tried to implement.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go over so well.
No.
It basically pretty much put the country on the verge of full-on revolt.
Yeah.
So they rescinded it and decided to try a new ban. Well, the new ban is going out. And,
new ban, same as the old ban.
Yeah, first, same as the first. It's literal. Yes. Yeah, it's pretty much the exact same damn thing.
Yeah.
Iraq's not part of the list of countries.
Yeah.
Dual nationals are not discriminated against now.
Mm-hmm.
Diplomats are cool. Green card holders are cool. They had like a 10-day delay in it starting.
Mm-hmm. They also lifted the indefinite ban on Syrians.
Yeah.
And,
The subject now is just 90-day ban on travelers and 120 days for refugees, which is better than what it was, but...
And they say no religious preferences, except that there are still Muslim-majority countries.
Yeah, because... Yeah. I'm sure this will go over much better.
And
I don't think so.
Yeah, see, somebody here that read it said he's never seen one that explains itself more than this.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose section is 19 paragraphs long.
I'm sure it just rambles.
That's like when that person that knows they're doing something wrong, they try to go into a long-winded explanation as to why it's not actually wrong.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm actually convinced that original travel ban was written almost solely by Steve Bannon.
I'm sure it was.
Because you saw Trump when he was signing that, it was very clear he hadn't read the thing beforehand.
I don't think he reads anything but Twitter.
And frankly, I just need to point this out. The reason I say that and why you need to be concerned about Steve Bannon, period. Steve Bannon is obsessed with this book called The Camp of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, I mean, if you live... Well, first of all, if you're a person who is either European or you're French or French-speaking or some tangibly related to the French, like, say, French-Canadian,
mm-hmm.
You may be familiar with this book and the guy who wrote it. Basically, all you need to know is that... have you guys ever heard of something called the Turner Diaries?
Afraid not.
It was the book that kind of sort of inspired Timothy McVeigh to set off that bomb at the federal building in Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yeah, basically the Camp of the Saints is like that, except it's for French people, and it's basically this apocalyptic idea of like all these dirty brown immigrants coming, you know, refugees fleeing an overpopulated India, and they're going to invade, and it openly calls for mass murder and genocide as a solution. It's not in any way
sane.
No, it's in no way subtle about it. It's straight up. When Kirkus Reviews first reviewed the book when it came out in English in 1975, they basically said that their exact quote was, The publisher has been calling this a major event. This is true in the same way that the publication of Mein Kampf was a major event. Yeah. And Steve Bannon is obsessed with this book, and it informs his worldview.
Yeah.
So that should scare you. And another thing that should also really scare you is unbelievable stupidity, which leads us to our next story.
Yeah, this is our dumbass of the week.
If it becomes a regular thing, we may need to put that in.
Yeah, well, so Dr. Ben Carson, in one of his famous snafus, basically referred to slaves as immigrants.
Well, technically, maybe they were, although they weren't actually, you know, there of their own volition, but...
No, yeah.
It, no. It wasn't just a wording issue. No, he didn't just...
This was just...
Yeah, he didn't just swap slaves and immigrants once.
Yeah.
He was very explicit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was very explicitly talking about slaves.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's like, they had to build themselves up and take on the American dream. I'm like, dude, they were slaves.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, they had to build themselves up and take on that American dream on threat of death.
Yeah.
And how they had all these hopes and dreams and ambitions for their families and kids. And,
yeah, hopes and dreams. What? Basically involving around, usually involved, those hopes, dreams, and ambitions usually revolved around something like, man, I hope my white master doesn't try and rape my wife tonight.
Yeah.
Or my daughter.
Mm. Or my daughter.
Yeah.
Or hell, even my son. That happened too.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a good tweet here by Keith Overman. It's a hell of a contest, but Dr. Carson may be the stupidest man breathing.
The NAACP actually did this thing on Twitter, and it was just one word tweet. It was, immigrants? In quotes with like the question mark, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
It was basically a giant what the fuck?
Yeah.
And here's Sam Jackson. Okay, Ben Carson. Dot, 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 dot. I can't. Immigrants? In the bottom of slave ships? Motherfucker, please. Hashtag dickheaded Tom.
Yeah, I love Sam Jackson.
And Sam Jackson doesn't fuck around, especially when it comes to this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the head of Housing and Urban Development.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know,
yeah, no, search.
There's a lot of, I just want to make just one quick statement here, because if you follow tech lately, there's a lot of hubbub being made about artificial intelligence and how it's going to put everybody out of jobs, and it's going to turn us into like robots and slaves. I'm sorry, but, you know, artificial intelligence ain't got nothing on natural stupidity.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of that right now.
Yeah. It's also just showing that just because you're a doctor, believe it or not, does not automatically make you intelligent.
Nope.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing to say you didn't just get right above the passing grades on that stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, Ben Carson is like a freaking savant, because apparently he's a really good neurosurgeon and a complete goddamn moron when everything else is concerned.
Yeah.
How is it possible to reconcile that, though?
Because he's used all of the good parts of his brain for neurosurgery.
It's nothing.
Then why isn't he doing over neurosurgery?
I don't know retired. Why he's not.
He's retired, yeah.
Yeah, he retired.
He's a human conundrum. Then he needs to go to Florida and die slowly.
Damn it, Pat, that's great.
Yeah, he's just a human conundrum.
Yeah.
A brain-dead neurosurgeon.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So,
that's part of the deal.
Hmm.
Huh. So, following up that, David Letterman had a... interview on Vulture.com where he was basically talking about, you know, he basically is just speaking about Donald Trump and that whole mess. And who was it that puts up, just sort of give us a...
Yeah, I put it in there.
Yeah, so just give us sort of a rundown here.
Yeah, the early part of it is just a lot about just being retired. and how he's taken to that. And but then starts getting into Trump stuff because he's interviewed Trump a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Starts talking about how satire protects us from Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer is like, the man has such thin skin that if you keep pressure on him, he tells a little bit of story about a baseball game in Cleveland where a swarm of flies just came onto the field and batters were swatting at him with the bat. Well, yeah. That's Alec Baldwin in Saturday Night Live. It's distracting the batter. Eventually, Trump's going to take a fastball off the sternum and have to leave the game. And a lot of stuff like this. Talk about how comedy can help combat these people. Let's see. What else is here? I'm just trying to look real quick.
Well, based on what Saturday Night Live has been doing lately, I'm guessing they're probably right on the front lines of the resistance here.
Yeah, and apparently it's working because they are really getting under those people's skin.
Hmm.
And you see,
and not just Trump, the entire his entire crew.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's talking about how he wanted to interview Trump himself.
Mm-hmm.
So like, want to spend like a good hour just tearing him down, and you have yeah. to stay there just to do that.
He just has to stay there and listen to it.
Yeah.
Basically, lock all the doors and nail his ass to the chair and make him listen to it.
Yeah.
And take away his phone.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a good question. How would you handle it? Sort of asking about how you'd interview Trump. I would just start with the list. You did this. You did that. Don't you feel stupid for having done that, Don? And who's this goon Steve Bannon? Why do you want a white supremacist as one of your advisors? Come on, Don. We both know you're lying. Now stop it. I think I would be in the position to give him a bit of a scolding, and he would have to sit there and take it. Yeah, I would like an hour with Donald Trump. An hour and a half.
Yeah. That would I, and then at the end of it, he could just turn to the camera and go, well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that whole list would take up the entire hour.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so turns out John Lewis has been involved in a fair bit of action. Holy God, first of all, because I'm always thinking about myself, I think, I was about John Lewis's age when he marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Would I have had the guts to do that? The all-talk John Lewis goes down there and gets a goddamn skull fracture. I mean, Trumpy will never have to worry about a skull fracture because of the hair. Thank you. How do you know if Donald Trump is lying? His lips are moving. Thank you. In addition to every other thing that's wrong with the Trump, he's ignorant in a way that's insulting to the office, insulting to America, insulting to human rights, insulting to civil rights, insulting to John Lewis. Trump saying that broke my heart. I thought, you stupid son of a bitch. You ought to have known better than that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's,
so.
David Letterman may be retired, but he's still sharp as a tack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So.
Dan Rather and. Other people are, you know, they're coming back and they're saying, hey,
this is not what cool. the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love what Dan Rather's been doing, by the way.
Yes.
Because I've been following him. Follow him.
Yeah. And speaking of not cool.
So if you've been looking at me on Facebook, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times. There's this little theater in Alabama that drive-in.
Yeah.
I would make a joke about how, you know, those actually still exist. Be honest, I kind of like the idea of drive-ins and kind of wish they were still around, but
that's either
here.
You don't have to sit in germs from other people.
Yeah. Plus, it's just the experience of, like, you know, you can sit in your car or you can climb up on the roof or, you know, lie down on the hood or just this is the experience, you know?
Yeah.
There under the stars.
Yeah.
And listening to shitty audio.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got its pros and cons. But anyway, so basically they decided to do their jump on the evangelical virtue signaling bandwagon and have decided that they're not going to play the upcoming Beauty and the Beast live version because of the one gay character with his one gay moment.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, but what were they smoking in the 90s that they don't remember He was then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is LeFou. He's literally, like, they're the only thing they're doing here in this movie is confirming the context. The context was already there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the explanation for it, the line they put out. If we cannot take our 11-year-old granddaughter and 8-year-old grandson to see a movie, we have no business watching it. If I can't sit through a movie with God or Jesus sitting by me, then we have no business showing it.
Wow. Those were some words arranged.
In a sentence?
In a sentence that makes no sense whatsoever.
I'm sure Jesus would say, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's like they said in Kimmy Schmidt, I understand all those words separately.
Together.
Yeah, well, but when companies continually force their views on us, we need to take a stand. We all make choices, and I'm making mine.
Yeah, well, go fuck yourself with it, too.
Yeah.
In other news, by the way, apparently, according to the people who do ticket pre-sales, the Beauty and the Beast has already outdone both Finding Dory and Captain America Civil War.
Yeah. So.
For pre-sales. They're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
I'm expecting records to be made and records to be broken.
Yeah. I saw a really cute Beauty and the Beast with pugs earlier today. I don't have a link for it, but if you want to look it up. It's funny. It's 20 seconds long. Mm. It won't ruin your day. Kind of cool. Mm.
That's a great endorsement.
It won't ruin your day.
It won't ruin your day.
You know, lately, that's about all we could really expect.
You know? Mm.
Yep.
Mm. So, fuck you, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, in honor of these assholes, I'm going to go see that movie a couple of times.
Mm.
I don't care if it sucks.
Yeah, it's a movie about a woman falling in love with a buffalo.
I mean, it is like the worst Stockholm Syndrome ever.
Yeah. But, oh well.
We're cool with bestiality, but get that gay person out of here.
Yeah, so moving on. This was a great link we got in here. So Martin R. Schneider on his Twitter page, he decided to tell a story of how basically working as a woman just kind of sucks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or it can. So I guess I'll just go ahead and read the whole thing because it's just a series of like 10 or 12 tweets.
Okay.
So it starts here. Okay. So here's a little story of the time Nikki Nax taught me how impossible it is for professional women to get the respect they deserve. Nicole and I worked for a small employment service firm, and one complaint always came from our boss. She took too long to work with clients. As her supervisor, I considered this a minor nuisance at best. I figured the reason I got things done faster was from having more experience. But I got stuck monitoring her time and nagging her on the boss's behalf. We both hated it, and she tried so hard to speed up with good work. So one day, I'm emailing a client back and forth about his resume, and he is just being impossible. Rude, dismissive, ignoring my questions. Telling me his methods were the industry standards, parentheses, they weren't, and I couldn't understand the terms he used, parentheses, I could. Anyway, I was getting sick of this shit when I noticed something. Thanks to our shared inbox, I'd been signing all communications as Nicole. It was Nicole he was being rude to, not me. So out of curiosity, I said, hey, this is Martin. I'm taking over this project for Nicole. Immediate improvement in all caps. Positive reception, thanking me for suggestions, responds promptly saying, great questions, became a bottle client. Note, my techniques and advice never changed. The only difference was that I had a man's name now. So I asked Nicole if this happened all the time. Her response was, I mean, not all the time, but yeah, a lot. So we did an experiment. For two weeks, we switched names. Signed all client emails as Nicole. She signed as me. Folks, it fucking sucked. I was in hell. Everything I asked or suggested was questions. Clients I could do in my sleep were condescending. One asked if I was single. Nicole had the most productive week of her career. I realized the reason she took longer is because she had to convince clients to respect her. By the time she could get clients to accept that she knew what she was doing, I could get halfway through another client. I wasn't any better at the job than she was. Just had this invisible advantage. I showed the boss, and he didn't buy it. I told him that was fine, but I was never critiquing her speed with clients again. He conceded that battle, but found ways to hound us both on time and other manners. But again, that's a different story. Here's the real fucked up thing. For me, this was shocking. For her, she was used to it. She just figured it was part of her job.
It's the way it is, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I was working this job doing ocean import-export, and it happened all the time. I'd have somebody call, say, where's my freight? I'm sorry, the train derailed. It's going to be 3 days late. I don't believe you. Let me talk to Pete. Transfer him over to Pete. Pete tells him the same goddamn thing. Oh, have a nice day, dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the way it is.
Mm.
And I didn't even remember that until you got to the point where she's like, it happens all the time? Well, not all the time, but yeah, a lot. It's just, it's invisible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's invisible until it's pointed out, even when it happens to you.
Yeah.
I swear to fucking God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. This is the month. This is the month when, you know, female rage is completely, it's completely justified to let it out.
Yeah.
And that's fine every month.
Yeah.
So. But this month in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of women's stuff, so Brawny. Everybody knows Brawny.
Hey, paper towels.
Paper towels.
Yeah.
They actually unveiled a new Brawny woman for Women's History Month. And, first of all, okay, so yeah, it's cool. For Women's History Month, they actually got a Brawny woman. I do have a problem with this, though.
Mm.
Because she basically looks like a supermodel.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's from the mouth down.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay that, like, I can kind of understand their particular reasons, because, like, she's kind of a generic, and since you can't see her face, so she kind of is an every woman, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, you guys have seen the Brawny Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't what a Brawny woman looks like.
No.
No. No. And the Brawny Man has a Brawny face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Brawny fuck?
the Brawny woman should look like Zarya from Overwatch.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. How did I know that's where you were going?
Oh my God.
The Brawny woman should have been Zarya from Overwatch.
Yeah.
Either that or Urbosa from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. That would work too.
Yep.
AKA my new waifu for lifeu, but
there's some rat jokes tied to this whole thing. Yeah. I thought a minute ago that was Paya.
Mm.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do Zarya because, don't you know, then we'd have everybody in their alt lifestyles breathing, pushing it down our necks, blah, blah, blah.
Except in my head canon, Zarya is not only heterosexual, she's aggressively heterosexual.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
She reminds me of the Death by Snoo Snoo aliens.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Amazonians from Futurama.
Yep.
Totally.
And they got a hashtag.
Snoo Snoo.
And just to show that this is 2017, there's a hashtag on the packaging.
Yeah.
Hashtag strength has no gender.
Which, I mean, is true, but... Well...
Then you get the people who's like, oh, but... They're not as strong as men. That doesn't matter. Women can be strong in their own ways.
That's not the point.
Hmm.
Okay, yes. Statistically, men tend to be more physically stronger.
Hmm.
That's just a statistical shit. It doesn't mean that women can't be.
Yeah.
That's just an accident of genetics, nothing more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I do love it.
There are some great jokes that are on this little Twitter moment thing from Jamie Loftus. Yeah. I've only had female Brawny paper towels for 12 minutes, and they're already unionizing and planning a march. But the good news about female Brawny paper towels is that they only cost 78% as much as the ones with the ripped dude.
Yeah. Social commentary.
Oh my god, that's good.
And then you get farther down, and then you'll start seeing, Ronnie says strength has no gender, but we all agree that men are stronger. I mean, virtue signaling doesn't ignore facts, right?
Yeah. There's another funny one here. Guys, the Brawny woman isn't new. She plays darts at Cubbyhole on Thursday. She's around.
Oh, boy. Well,
another white male put out of work.
Oh, my God.
That one's serious.
Well, it might be. I'm going to throw in a little aside here. My grandmother used to get shit. Bus driver. That's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the 70s and 80s. This wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. Why are you driving this bus? Why are you taking a man's job? Why are you taking a man's money? Mm. Why aren't you home? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago in the 70s and 80s. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So... You know, questionable marketing aside.
Smash cut to Piers Morgan in the grocery aisle, trembling, white hot tears of rage streaming down his jaws.
Well, I guess the sentiment is appreciated, I guess. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, oh, God, this is just fucking
weird.
This next one's just weird. Okay, so running back Arian Foster, mm-hmm. who is for Texas.
He used to play for the Houston Texans, but retired after.
He's retired.
Last season.
Mm.
And he says, I think I could go. He says, one. Okay, so.
He just started just freeballing on Twitter.
Yeah, he says, like, want to go camping, but wildlife scares the shit out of me. I honestly think I can get a wolf one-on-one, though.
This is typed as well as you think a text conversation would be?
Yeah.
On the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It just keeps going. So this dude, Beaver Sutherland, says, you could take down a wolf? Wow, you'd be dead within 10 minutes. And, of course, he answers, I'm 230 pounds. Wolves are what, 180, 200 tops? He has no thumbs. If I control his neck, he's done so.
Yeah, his whole theory centers around opposable thumbs.
Yeah, except for he's, like, completely ignoring the fact that wolves are pack hunters.
Yeah. They,
you're not fucking around with one wolf. You're usually up against six or more.
Wolves don't scare me like that because in my neighborhood was a bunch of loose enraged pits. If he alone, I think I can get him.
Look, here's the thing. Wolves do not hunt solitary. They hunt in packs.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, the ones that are actually hunting in the pack are also the most able-bodied ones in the pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody responds like, but wolves hunt in packs. His response, none of them have thumbs.
Like, and I just want to point out, the reason I point that out is because that whole alpha-beta shit that they talk about with wolf packs is not true. Only true for wolves that are in captivity for a long time.
Yes.
In the wild, they basically operate on a sort of social welfare system. The older, frail ones and the children are left behind guarded while the able-bodied males and females go out to hunt.
Hmm.
There's another good response. I feel like you are giving opposable thumbs too much credit. Didn't you see the gray? Wolves are nature's Wu-Tang Clan. His response, Thumbs means I can grab him. He can't grab me. All he has is a mouth. Grab his neck.
God,
he can't bite.
Yeah, see, here's the other thing you've got to understand. If it is just a solitary wolf, you should still be afraid and running in the other direction because odds are...
You don't know where the rest are.
Yep.
Well, not just that, but it's also completely possible that that wolf is rabid.
Yeah.
So unless I have the advantage of honking about this wolf like I'm prepared. If you run into each other in my head, quote, it's on wolf. He's like, what is this aggressive species threatening me? I've studied the wolf. He can't read. I know his weaknesses. Plus the thumb thing. another response from somebody. Again, he will claw an artery open or claw your face off. Then you go to grab your arm and he chews your face off. Lose-lose. Bro, you think a wolf knows where my artery is? All of a sudden I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology?
He can
wolves
see
are
that.
A lot more intelligent than you might, than you yeah. give them credit for, dude.
Continues on. Somebody else responds, this has been debated before, and those who know say a man has no chance versus a wild wolf, 90% of Twitter would die. His response, I'm in the 10%. Oh, well, what about his teeth and claws? This ain't a video game. One hit and I'm done. It's a fight. Look, he bites me, wolves. His main weapon is immobilized, then becomes vulnerable. This is why thumbs are so important.
Wait. Can you imagine what this kid was, what this guy was like when he was a kid arguing with his parents?
Yeah.
That's funny shit.
Look, wolves go for the throat by instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they're born knowing the shit.
Yeah.
And
all right, but we gotta move
teammates
on.
As this was scared to pet my silver lab. Him, not scared, he's bite me, scared he'd try me, and I'd have to kill your dog. The scary part of this is he's a running back. Potentially he has got concussions before, and that might add to it.
Yeah.
Well, and potentially he's just fucking with people, because that's kind of funny,
that
too.
Too.
Yeah,
that's also like last statement is that also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs. Advantage? Me, fucker.
All right. So,
he's got to be trolling.
Yeah. So moving on from that, we got another Elon Musk story, folks. Praise him. Hail him.
Yep. He's on Trump's advisory committee, by the way. So maybe some
Fuck
kind
him.
Of... Well, somebody's got to try to rein that asshole in.
Yeah, so Elon Musk has publicly said he is offering the nation of Australia he can fix their energy crisis in 100 days or it's free.
They should take him up on that shit.
Yeah.
What do they got to lose?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, so that would depend on the price tag here.
Yeah.
Or it's free. Well, yeah. What's the opposite of free here?
You're saying they could provide 100 megawatt hours of battery storage at a total cost of about $25 million.
$25 million. Guessing there's probably, that probably includes solar panels and all that stuff to go along with it.
Solar panels, wind, turbines.
But
this is specifically talking about
Australian?
Yeah.
I think, no, $25 million. American.
USD, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess this is mainly focused on South Australia.
Yeah.
We just had a lot of blackouts and such.
Yeah.
Because Australia gets really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a storm that damaged crucial transmission lines in September.
Yeah.
So, yeah, honestly, Australia, all I can say is give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Just, you know, hope he comes up with the Tesla car and, you know, not the equivalent of the, whatchamacallit.
The Dale.
Yeah.
And I guess one of those, a senator for South Australia said on Twitter that she wanted to talk to Musk about this.
Good. Should.
Twitter bringing people together.
Yeah.
Solve at least one problem.
Yeah.
He's on to something.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's a time traveler. Who knows?
I think he's just got balls and, you know, he's not afraid to put.
He's got plenty of time to put into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
moving on in entertainment news, we got a teaser for Deadpool 2.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm not going to spoil it. Just go
No, just
look
watch
at it.
It's awesome. That's all
I'll
say.
It's a spoof of a fairly recent movie comic character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So I'm glad to know another Deadpool movie is coming. We knew that it probably would. But mm-hmm. yeah, the first one, it was okay, but it was, I got the sense that it wasn't quite what the movie could have been. So maybe it'll
go all out. I think they did the wrong story arc.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they just got one new cast member recently for Domino, which is I forget what her name is. It's a weird name, but she's in FX's Atlanta show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be playing that.
So that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. So that's all we're gonna say about that. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, we don't want to spoil it.
No.
It's worth
clicking on the link and going there.
Yeah.
It's Deadpool. Right. Your time will not be wasted.
No.
All right. So next up, we got a couple of music-related stories. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of combine them.
Yep.
So first and foremost, Black Sabbath is actually calling it quits after 49 years.
Good.
Yeah. Good. I don't blame them.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if you've seen Black Sabbath, some of their live performances recently, it amounts to Ozzy being incomprehensible and hobbling around the stage a lot.
Basically, Ozzy for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
I heard he got better, though.
Not that much better, no.
Okay.
No. Well, the dude is getting old.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's getting old. You know, shouldn't have to be doing that for, you know, the rest of his life. I know he probably wants to, but you got plenty of money.
Play Lemmy did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them play in Ozfest up in Cleveland's about 12, 13, 14 years ago, somewhere around there.
Hmm.
And even then, it seemed crazy that he was like hopping around on like a frog all around the stage for him being in his 60s, I think.
Yeah.
And but, generally and just his, being Aussie.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, that's kind of how Ozzy always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
now he's just way older.
Grayer.
Seemingly in a state that he needs people to be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah,
he's... let's just put it this way. He basically... If you've never noticed his concerts, he has to have a teleprompter to help him remember the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And that could partly be the drugs.
Yeah.
Or it could also just be age.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't help.
Yeah. You got to remember, Ozzy back in the day was infamous for just the insane amount of substance abuse that, like, he could put Motley Crue to shame.
He snorted ants once.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he could straight put Motley Crue to shame.
Yeah. The entire band.
They were there when he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, Nikki Sixx did some shit in his day. He's got nothing on Ozzy.
No. So.
And he's admitted as much.
Yeah.
But you know, also, it's also sad because, as everybody knows, Ronnie James Dio passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's and, been you know, it's, unfortunately, you know, they couldn't use the Black Sabbath name when they did the tour with him. So they had to, you know, use the name Heaven and Hell, which, for the record, if you ever got that, by the way, did you guys hear that album?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good album.
Very good album.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and also with that, on Record Store Day, which is going to be April the 22nd,
yep.
Two rare albums from the late, great David Bowie will be released.
Yeah, reprinted. Buying both of these.
Yep. I mean, you got to.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them, I seem to remember that one of them sold, like one of the original pressings of one of these, sold on Discogs for, I think, close to $100,000.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, David Bowie released a shit ton of albums during his career.
Yeah.
So it is very possible that most people have not heard these two.
Yeah. We're a lot of them. And
Yeah.
These two... No, they're going to be Record Store Day exclusives, so that doesn't really mean as exclusive as you would think, because, these are going to be pretty widely available afterwards, so, yeah.
So, I'm still looking for, like, them to do a reprint of Neil Young's Trans album.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys know that. Neil Young, that was actually the... techno/new wave album that Neil Young did in the early 80s. It's actually not bad.
There's a lot of stuff coming out on vinyl again, so, you know, you never know. You might see it.
Yeah. So, and for our final penultimate story...
Well, it's a long ultimate story, basically.
Yeah. I know. I don't do words. Me no speak of the English. Twitch is going to be marathoning all 23 seasons of the Power Rangers starting on the 14th.
Oh, dear God.
So that is going to be this Tuesday.
831 episodes.
Oh, dear God. Oh, man.
I guess they aren't doubling up on the original reversion of the first series. But other than that,
there's no point,
it's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But... Oh, all the way back to the days when the Black Ranger was black guy and the Yellow Ranger was an Asian woman.
Yeah.
The Pink Ranger was a woman.
Yeah.
White woman. I guess the 14th to the 30th.
Yep.
Almost 2.5 weeks.
There will be some times that are better than that, or that are better to look in on that than others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you're looking to, if you're looking to get a complete library of Power Rangers that you can download, this might be a good place to do it. As long as you know how to capture a stream.
Yeah.
Is Streambox still a thing?
No, but there are others. Like, you know.
My recommendation, RPM. It was a fairly recent season. It'll be closer to the end of the stream.
Yeah.
But it is not what you are used to from this franchise at all. And that's particularly shocking because even the source material was about as lighthearted as it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, this is, you know, leading up to the new movie, so. And that's,
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So we're going to be able to go through Power Rangers, Power Rangers Turbo, Alien Rangers.
Don't watch Turbo.
Yeah, don't watch Turbo. Don't watch Alien Rangers either. Alien Rangers was stupid.
Which is a shame, because the source material for that was fantastic.
It was. It's just the idea, the idea they went for the Western version is just so god-awful stupid.
Well, for one thing, I think they owed it a whole season, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
But, yeah, so...
Goddamn, looking at the list of all these series, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. By the way, has anybody seen the first season of Power Rangers lately? Like, have they watched it again? It hasn't aged well.
Yeah, this is going to be a great thing to watch early on, is, like, this is what the 90s...
Yeah.
Was like,
yeah.
I mean, the actual Power Ranger, the Sentai parts themselves are still really good. I mean, it's Sentai. That shit's timeless.
Yeah.
But the other parts are cringe-inducing.
Yeah.
I just watched 90s fashion evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more or less. Yeah, more or less. So.
Still.
God, it is. But anyway, so... I do believe we have a show.
Do we ever?
We ever. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if by any chance you want to call in, if you want to send us a question or a comment or send us your 1,000-page political manifesto or death threats, I don't know. You can send all of those to letsweekenders@gmail.com. That is letsweekenders@gmail.com. And also, we would like to remind you that on top of iTunes, you can also subscribe via TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, and basically all the things.
Yep.
All the things.
Yep. And subscribe to all. Subscribe to them. All.
Yeah. Subscribe to all of them. You know, we kind of want to inflate our numbers a bit, so.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. I'd like to say good night, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons, I would like to say good night. Get some sleep out there.